蓝天之下，让梦想起航；
绿洲之中，让心灵放松。欢迎来到
蓝天绿洲 Heaven Today。
时代杂志曾经这样评论道：据说除了主耶稣之外，历史上最多人写书论述的人物就要数马丁路德了。马丁路德的言行带动了宗教改革运动，产生了以因信称义为神学理论的基督教新教。这场的运动也被誉为是人类史上历史最重大的革命。在欧洲，马丁路德改变了宗教的面貌，更为中世纪的历史画上了句号。马丁路德究竟是个怎样的人物呢？为什么他能够对欧洲历史产生这么深远的影响？你现在收听到的是良友电台的双语节目《蓝天绿洲 Heaven Today》，我是乐欣，和我一起主持的是 Charles Morris。
If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you probably owe this man, a former monk, part of your spiritual heritage.It's said of him that he was the person who, guided by experience in the life of his own soul, again made people understand the original and true meaning of the gospel of Christ. Who am I talking about? Martin Luther.
This was the man.That God used to recapture the gospel. He restored the word of God, the Bible, to the center of Christian life and worship. He reestablished the importance of family, the value of music, the dignity of human labor. But most significantly of all, he recovered the truth that a person's justification in the eyes of God comes by grace alone, through faith alone.
That's Barry Cooper, the host of a just released and highly acclaimed documentary on Martin Luther that's called Luther, The Life and Legacy of the German Reformer. Barry will join us in just a moment to talk about the legacy of Martin Luther and this new 90-minute full-length documentary.
是的，从今天开始的接下来几期节目呢，我们将要和你分享的就是马丁路德的故事了。也许打从我们信主之后，常常会听到他的名字，知道他曾经做过修道士，知道他因着罗马书一章十七节的经文义人并因信得生而推动了宗教改革，也有人知道他的九十五条论纲。在这个系列里面呢，我们会更多的来挖掘马丁路德的生平还有宗教改革的过程。说真的，对一个一开始就活在新教里的信徒，可能啊，我们很难想象中世纪的天主教和罗马教廷是什么样子的。电影里面向我们展现出来的，主要是那个时候政教合一所带来的教会腐败问题，或者呢，是类似于十字军东征的一些血腥画面。那么希望借着这个系列的节目，能够帮助我们更加理性、客观的来认识宗教改革。
Welcome to Haven Today, and I'm Charles Morris coming to you from Southern California, this year of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you may not even know this, but you can trace your religious roots back to a man named Martin Luther. And on the line with us from Florida is Barry Cooper. He's an author and he's a teacher, and he's also the host of a brand new documentary called Luther.That we have for you this week here on the program. So, Barry, welcome for the very first time to Haven Today.
Thank you so much, Charles.
It's good to have you on as we talk about Martin Luther. Some author wrote, "The Reformation was not concerned with establishing a new Christian tradition, but with the renewal and correction of an existing tradition." What do you think he meant by that?
Well, the new and existing tradition, I mean, this is what's fascinating with the Reformation, of course, is that Martin Luther never set out to create a new church as such. For him, as a monk,
seeing the way that the Roman Catholic Church was, orthodoxy was working its way out in terms of indulgences in particular, as he saw that happening, he was just filled with such a sense of revulsion at what the church had become that really his passion was to reform the Roman Catholic Church. He was not a schismatic who was desperate to create a new denomination or a new church. He just dearly wanted the church that he loved to recover its first love. And so that's what's been, fascinating for me as I've looked to the life of Luther.
Mm. And I know we have Lutherans listening to us, and they would all know that Martin Luther never wanted a church in his name. And yet that's been the case outside of Germany. Mm. And yet, I think what we should do is go back and just tell the story of Martin Luther. We'll get to his theology. We'll get to how the Spirit of the living God invaded his life more as a monk. But tell us a little bit about him. How did he grow up? How was he educated? What happened?
Yeah, Martin Luther was a man who was born in Eisleben in Germany. And he was somebody who started originally, his father actually wanted him to be a miner, wanted him to go down into mines. That was what his father did. And Luther was, unfortunately, he had this this extraordinary moment where he was walking in the fields and the lightning bolt struck the ground. And Luther famously cried out, "Save me, I'll become a monk." And because his life was spared, that was a real change in trajectory for his life. So he then decided he was going to become a monk, much to his father's consternation. As, of course, Luther did that, he was an extraordinarily dedicated and passionate monk. I mean, this was a man who was constantly going to confession because he was so aware of the sin in his life. It's fair to say he took it all very, very seriously. I think this is what in many ways lays the groundwork for the Reformation, because he saw around him people who frankly were not taking it as seriously as he obviously was. And there's these famous stories of him going to confession and then being told by the priest, "Actually, Martin, would you come back when you have something serious to confess? You know, this is actually not that big a deal." And of course, for him, it was huge. He was somebody who increasingly, by God's grace, became aware of a weight of sin inside him, which he couldn't seem to do anything about. And as he read Scripture, he saw that the Lord demanded complete and utter holiness of him. And so he found himself not loving God, but actually hating God. He wrote, "I hated God because he made these demands through the law upon me, which I couldn't possibly bear, had no way of fulfilling." And that, of course, drove him to the pivotal moment of finding in Scripture the fact that there was a righteousness available to him, which was not his own. It was a righteousness, an alien righteousness, as he called it, which could be bestowed upon him simply by faith. And that, of course, was one of the turning points in terms of Reformation doctrine.
好的，在这个地方呢，我们暂停一下 Charles 对 Barry 的访问。也许听到 Barry 刚才的描述，我们忍不住会笑出来。就连神父都被马丁路德的告诫弄得有些厌烦了，请他先回家，直到犯了比较严重的罪的时候呢，再来忏悔。当然，这个比较严重是打上引号的，因为在神父的眼中看来比较严重，和在路德眼中看来什么是比较严重，这两个概念可完全不一样。乐心，我就在想，我们对于罪的敏感有没有很强烈呢？是的，一直活在罪的控告当中，当然不是基督的意思。但是另外一方面，如果我们对罪没有感觉，觉得它无所谓，不是什么了不起的事，恐怕呀，这也不是一个好的兆头。在奥斯定会修道院的学习时期呢，马丁路德就遇见了修会的教区长斯道皮茨，并且从斯道皮茨那儿得到了许多的鼓励还有支持。斯道皮茨的思想并不否认认罪告解，但是呢，却强调说要向上帝全然的降服，将自己全然的交托给神，这样呢，就可以与上帝产生一种奥秘的契合，从而在当中得到平安。除此之外，斯道皮茨还认为过度的强调人的善行是一种对上帝骄傲的表现。路德呢，试图要尝试这种的交托，把自己交给神， 但是他得到的效果却不是那么的稳定。马丁路德在1508年获得了圣经硕士学位，1509年获得了神学四纲硕士。1510年路德被他的修会派往罗马城来讨论修会的问题，可是他当时对罗马教廷的不认真还有道德败坏感到非常的失望，也对教会的问题有了切身的了解。好，我们继续来听一下访问。
The famous line, the just shall live by faith, you know, that meant so much to him and God used with him in his life. Let's dig into a little more about what he taught and what change that brought about in Christendom. But let's pause for a minute. Let's remember we're talking 500 years ago. That anniversary of the Reformation will be this October 31st, 1517, when he nailed those theses. But let's talk about the Middle Ages. There was disease and just people were dying all around him. What was it like? I mean, you've been there before. You've been to where he was born, where he lived. Talk to us a little bit what it would have been like going to church. And everybody did go to church in the Middle Ages.
Hmm. Well, I have to say, I mean, the experts on this are the experts we have on the documentary. They're the guys with the brains the size of planets on that kind of thing. But certainly in terms of my own sort of visits to the places where we went, what is striking is this was a culture in which the idea of heaven above us, hell below us, angels, demons, all of this was startlingly immediate and real to people in a way that I don't think it is even to Christians like ourselves today. There was a sense of being, and I'm sure this was exacerbated, of course, by the sense of mortality. I mean, the average life expectancy at that time was not very high at all. I guess it would probably be in the sort of the 30s somewhere. And so you're constantly poised, hanging between heaven or hell. And so there was a tremendous sense of urgency, which, of course, is what put the Roman Catholic Church in such an incredibly privileged and powerful position, because here you had people coming to church. The Mass was said in Latin, which most people simply could not understand. So they were having to take an awful lot, as it were, on trust from the guy at the front who's doing all the preaching and telling them what's okay and what's not okay and whether their sins have been absolved or not absolved. And so, again, this is why what Luther did was so extraordinary, because using that translation of the Bible into the vernacular, the German vernacular, which could be understood by the average person on the street, was absolute dynamite, because for the first time, people were hearing the gospel, they were understanding it, they were hearing the whole counsel of God preached, hearing about Jesus, hearing about all these extraordinary things, and in a very real sense, hearing them, as it were, for the first time. And that was, as Luther, of course, famously said, I mean, that was, you know, as far as he was concerned, that God's word is the thing that did all the work. It wasn't really him. He was sitting with his friends drinking beer, apparently, and, you know, all of this just kind of happened by itself because God's word is so powerful. Now, of course, you know, Martin Luther's being slightly tongue-in-cheek there, and I love him for it. As an ex-stand-up comedian, I do like a theologian who tells a joke now and again. It's very, very good to know. But that was what was going. It was an absolute powder keg once people began to hear God's word in the native tongue.
Mm. I think I read somewhere that one reason God allowed the Reformation at that point in history was because in Martin Luther's lifetime, the printing press was invented.
Yes.
And of course, he was writing in German, but from what I hear you say, this was a way to get the gospel out there that wasn't available before.
Yeah. Isn't that remarkable how technology can drive that? It's very interesting that there is that sense of the power of the written word. He absolutely harnessed that, the power of the written word. I guess it had never been more powerful than that at that time.
Wow. You're right. Let's go back now and begin to talk about what the Lord used from Martin Luther. And let me just read a quote by Luther. The law says, do this, and it is never done. Grace says, believe in this, and everything is already done. So I'll let you loose now. Let's talk about grace and faith a little bit.
Yeah, as we were saying earlier, the real revelation, I think, for Luther was recognizing that justification cannot come about by the law. We're just reading, actually, in our church down here in Daytona Beach reading Galatians. And of course, Paul's point all the way through that is actually the law, in a sense, kills. The law tells you what you're doing wrong. It is a schoolmaster which points you towards Christ, but is not meant to save in and of itself. It's meant to make you aware of your total depravity and your need for salvation. And so for Luther, as he read Romans in particular, to suddenly realize that actually that justification comes about not through our works and our good deeds and our attempts to obey the law, but actually the law points us towards the fact that we cannot possibly get that kind of righteousness, and the righteousness needs to be gifted to us, that it comes about by faith, and it's gifted to us by God because of the perfect life and death of his Son. So that for him, of course, is liberating. After he absolutely pummels himself into the ground, and he talks about Anfechtung, this extraordinary angst of feeling that, just this terrible weight of God's wrath upon him. And then suddenly it was as if the gates of heaven were flung open, as it were, as he understood justification by faith for the first time. And he realized that actually, what Christ had done and why he had done it, and that it applied to him and all who consider themselves to be poor sinners in need of salvation. And so, of course, that whole dichotomy of law and grace, that understanding, is crucial to Luther and crucial to the Reformation.
1515和1516年，在教授保罗写给罗马人的书信，还有加拉太书信的时候呢，马丁·路德在一直研究神的义到底是什么意思。一开始，他对于义的解释，以为是对付罪人公义的审判。这样的答案呢，让他感到非常的困扰。他仍然对一个人应该有善行这样的观念笃信不疑。他的心中对公义的神感到十分的惧怕，有的时候呀，甚至私下怀恨起来。马丁·路德说：“我对那位公义刑罚罪人的神谈不上爱，我对他隐隐的存在着愤怒，我恨他。”因为可怜的罪人在律法和悲惨恐惧之下生活，不但要受到原罪的毁坏，还要受到福音的折磨。马丁·路德又祷告又默想，反复地来思考经文的含义，最终他得到了亮光。原来称义不是神公义的审判，也不是人的义行，而是神给人的礼物，这不是人去做的，而是人去接受的。因为神的义正在这福音上显明出来，这义是本于信以至于信，如经上所记，义人必因信得生。路德本来能够背诵全部的新约圣经还有旧约的大部分内容，但是到了这一刻呢，这个经文对他竟变成了完全崭新的。他说，我觉得自己得到了重生，经过敞开的门进入到了乐园里面。后来这就成为了宗教改革神学结构的根基，神的恩典借着耶稣基督赐给相信的人，神的怜悯使人的罪得以赦免，良心得以洁净，神的怜悯也使人不再有负罪感的重担，而是能够有喜乐而发出感恩的心，从而就产生出顺服，从心里来遵行神的旨意。在马丁·路德把圣经翻译成德文的时候，罗马书的第三章二十八节，路德的翻译是：人称义是唯独因着信，不在乎遵行律法。有的人就批评他擅自的添加了其他的文字，与原文不符，但是路德却坚持在德文的文法上有必要添加唯独两个字。改革运动的明确口号就是唯独信心，唯独恩典，唯独基督。这个原则是每个人都可以了解，也促成了宗教改革的迅速发展。而这个口号就是来自于圣经的。罗马书的主旨是因信称义，加拉太书呢是讲恩典胜于律法，希伯来说呢，则是说基督是唯一的永远的大祭司和中保，而信徒人人都可以成为祭司。这样就形成了马丁·路德的宗教改革的信仰基础，以及他的十字架神学架构。
Well, Barry, I remember in my own life when I was at Jonah and I was running from the Lord, one of the things that brought me back was reading Luther's introduction to his commentary on Galatians. Something that just came through so powerfully is that God's grace is a gift. And that's something, even in his later life, he never forgot that. He never quit teaching that from the Word, did he?
That's right. Yeah, and it, very much the same for me. I mean, as I think back to, would have been back in 1992, I was studying at Oxford and I was making an absolute mess of my life. And I was aware that God was there and that I would have to give an account for my life one day, that I would stand, you know, face to face with him and have to explain all this carnage that I'd caused. And there was, as far as I could see it, there was no way out. I couldn't see how, even if at that moment I suddenly lived a perfect life from that moment at the age of 20 through to my dying day, it still would not be good enough. Because, of course, you know, if you commit a single sin, it's the gravest of offences against a perfectly holy God. And so then at Oxford at that time, to go to St. Ebb's Church and hear Vaughan Roberts and others preaching the gospel and understanding for the first time that actually, no, you're quite right. Your sense of your own wretchedness is absolutely right. But don't let that drive you into despair. It should drive your eyes upwards to see Christ on the cross, dying there for you precisely for that reason, so that he could take your sin, you can take his righteousness, so that you could be forgiven and enjoy God forever. And that was an absolute revelation for me. And of course, it's the only thing that can truly lead to a moral reformation, in my view. I think certainly my experience has been, if you feel thoroughly condemned under the law, it has a way of begetting yet more sin. You know, if you feel wretched that you can't save yourself, there is a sense in which human nature throws up its hands and says, well, there's no point in trying, because I can never get to that perfection. And so for me, that was kind of the state I was in until I understood, actually, no. Religion is, okay, I obey, therefore I'm accepted. But no, the gospel says I'm accepted, therefore I obey. And so the obedience followed, but it stopped becoming the grounds on which I attempted to relate to God.
We still try to get it backwards, don't we? I think that's the bottom line there, Barry.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's the default position of the human heart, isn't it? We're all tending back there, which is why, of course, we do need the gospel every day, and why Luther is absolutely right to say that we must always be reforming. It's not just the church that always needs to be reformed, but also we as individual Christians and individual local churches must always be reforming, repenting of sin, and constantly turning back to Christ.
I think we should pray. Do you mind leading us in prayer that the great themes that come from Scripture, that came from the Reformation, would continue on in our hearts today?
Absolutely, yeah. Be a joy. Yeah, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the gospel. We praise you for not leaving us in the wretchedness of our sin, not leaving us under your rightful and terrible wrath. We thank you that you sent your Son to pay for our righteousness in the most extraordinary, costly way. We thank you, Father, that he came to pay for that with death and blood, and he did so because of his extraordinary love. We thank you that we're no longer under the law, but by faith in Christ we can have his righteousness imputed to us, and because of that we can have a certain hope of enjoying eternity with you. And so I pray for all of us as churches. I pray that we continually do what Luther did and go to the Word and be guided by the Word, shaped by the Word in our preaching and in the way that we relate to one another, in the way that we shape our ecclesiology and everything about our acts of worship. And I also pray, Father, that if there is anybody listening who does not yet have the pleasure of knowing you, that in your mercy you would open their eyes and enable them to see the beautiful truths that Martin Luther saw. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He, Lord Sabaoth, His name, from age to age the same. And He must win the battle.
Been hearing this famous hymn all program by Martin Luther, kind of the signature song for the Reformation. Chris Rice and his version of A Mighty Fortress Is Our God.
这首 A Mighty Fortress 坚固保障是马丁路德在1529年创作的，他的诗词是取自于诗篇的46篇1到3节。神是我们的避难所，是我们的力量，是我们在患难中随时的帮助。所以地虽改变，山虽摇动到海心，其中的水虽砰轰翻腾，山虽因海涨而颤抖，我们也不害怕。马丁路德说过，除了神学以外，我把音乐放在最尊荣的地位。大卫与许多圣贤都曾将他们敬虔的心借着诗章与颂词加以表达。所以呢，音乐就如同是一艘船，是思想传载的工具。对基督教来说，圣乐更是神学思想的方舟。早期的圣诗是用希腊文或者是拉丁文写成的，作者呢都是天主教的神父或是修士。马丁路德的宗教改革之后，才开始有了基督教的圣诗。最初的作者大多数是德国人，继而呢就兴起了许多英国的圣诗作者，直到20世纪美国作者才迎头赶上。不知道在今天节目当中，你是否特别喜欢这一首坚固保障呢？你是否又知道这一首诗歌原来是马丁路德创作的？好了，这就是今天的蓝天绿洲全部的内容了。非常谢谢你的收听，这是我们第一集来分享马丁路德的故事。我们的短信号码是13229966122，欢迎你发送短信来和我们说说听完节目之后的感受。短信的开头请你加上蓝天两个字。在下期的同一时间，我们和你继续分享。愿神赐福给你，拜拜。
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper, He amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not His equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He, Lord Sabaoth, His name, from age to age the same, and He must win the battle.